And return the service to Brother Presley John Pierce. When saying, get some companions of tribulation if you want to, and then preach to us. And we hope that you feel like praying and seeking God as you close this service. Amen. God bless.
Well, praise the Lord.
Amen.
It's quite a surprise to know that I would be preaching tonight. And I know that I probably wouldn't preach, but I preached Saturday night. I would have saved it to tonight, till tonight, because I sure did like it.
You like it?
But nonetheless, I still have something that I can share with you. The Bible's full of a lot of good things and things that will help us make it to heaven. I've sung just about every song that I know, and you've heard them all at least 5 times each. So I'm just going to sing an old chorus. Everyone knows this old chorus. It goes like this. Well, I woke up this morning with my mind. It was saved on Jesus. This morning with my mind, oh, stay on Jesus. I woke up this morning with my mind, stay on Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Called my mind. It's safe on Jesus. Sing it with me. The devil doesn't like it. Called my mind. It's safe on Jesus. The devil doesn't like it. Called my mind. It's safe. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Close your eyes and let's take the first part. Well, I woke up this morning with my mind. Oh, it was day on Jesus. I woke up this morning with my mind. It was day on Jesus. I woke up this morning with my mind. It was day on Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, oh hallelujah. Let's beat it up. Well now, oh, the devil doesn't like it, cause my mind is stayed on Jesus. The devil doesn't like it, cause my mind, think about it, stayed on Jesus. The devil doesn't like it, cause my mind is stayed on Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, oh hallelujah, one last time. Well, now I woke up this morning with my mind. It was day on my sweet Jesus. Well, I woke up this morning with my mind. It was day on Jesus. I woke up this morning with my mind. It was day on Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lift our hands and love Him right now. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
I praise and magnify your name, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Thank you, Lord, for your goodness.
Praise the name of the Lord. If you have your Bibles, I would ask you to turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 1. And we'll read verse 1 through verse 3. Genesis 1, verse 1 through verse 3. If someone would please get me some water, I would certainly appreciate it. My throat and mouth are very dry due to a case of nervousness that came on today about 3 o'clock. I went home and laid on the floor and jerked all afternoon because I was so nervous. No, I'm just kidding. I feel at home. I've been here for 4 months, and if you don't know by now, it's your fault. I was raised, not necessarily in this church, in this vicinity over on 6th and Dakota, but I was raised with this church and with this group of people. And I'm Cressley, and I suppose that I'll always be Cressley. And if you call me Cressley or Brother Pierce or Hey You or whatever, it doesn't make any difference. I am who I am, and I am what I am. And I are a preacher. And I is going to preach to you the Word of God tonight. And there's a tremendous scripture that I love to read in the epistles where Paul was saying to a group of people that he had spent some time with, he said, when you heard the Word of God, you received it as it is in truth the Word of God, even though you heard it from us. And I would ask you tonight if you can remember anything in my past, which I'm not going to try to stir up some old memories, but if you can remember anything in my past that's bad about me, I would ask that you would forget it for just a few minutes. Because I'm going to preach to you the Word of God. And as James writes to us in James chapter 1, it is the engrafted Word that is able to save our souls. I may be Cressley before the pulpit and after I get through tonight, but in the next few minutes I'm going to be preaching to you. And please keep in mind, if I say something that steps on your toes, did you know that one day I am going to be held accountable for every word that I speak to you right now? I'm going to be held accountable for it. And if what I say to you does not get you to heaven and it sends you to the other place, then it's going to be my fault if I say the wrong thing. Sometimes people take a man of God, they say, oh, he's meddling now, he's not preaching. You read your Bible in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and in 1 Peter chapter 2, and it talks about the Word of God is given for instruction and righteousness. No one likes to be instructed. It's given for correction. You name me one person that likes to be corrected, and I'll show you a hypocrite. No one likes to be corrected. No one likes to be doing something in the process of doing it, have their hand called and say, that's not right. But the Word of God is given for correction.
Amen.
Correction. Simply this principle, it is He that has made us, and not we ourselves. That's a Bible principle. It is He that has, that's a scripture. He that has made us not we ourselves. Therefore, establishing the point, He knows what's best for us.
Yes.
And His Word is what is best for His people.
Amen.
And even those that say they're not their people, it's good for them.
Amen.
Praise God. Genesis chapter 1, I said all that before I read my text, didn't I? So I haven't preached yet. So Brother Rutledge, I said, you don't have to allow a long time for me tonight. He said, well, how long? I said, oh, 7 minutes sounds pretty good. I'm sure it would sound good to those that are going to be listening to me. I'm not going to preach a long time. I never intend to anyway. Praise God. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 through verse 3. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Praise God. I would like to preach to you tonight from the topic, from the title, The Spirit of God is Moving. And again, read verse 2. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, Lord Jesus, we're so thankful for your word tonight, the direction that we receive from it every time it's ministered. I pray that you would touch every heart that's under the sound of my voice. Let every person glean from your word tonight something they need to make them a better person, a better Christian. Help me, Lord, as your servant and their servant, to preach your word humbly, Lord, with long suffering. In the name of Jesus, I pray. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Let's lift our hands one more time in loving. Lord God, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Brother Jackson, I'm going to go ahead and switch this mic right here. It seems tonight that I preach and even prepared my message with the spirit of humility and the light of where God has brought me from and the many wonderful things that He has done for me. And if perhaps there's an outburst of tears from me, your preacher for tonight, I don't want you to think that's a sign of weakness, for the Bible says he that goes forth weeping, bearing precious seed shall come again rejoicing, and something along that line. I've always been very tender in Bible college. If I got up and preached, I never preached without crying. I was known as a weeping prophet. Of course, that was said sarcastically. Praise God. The Spirit of God is moving. In the beginning, we see Adam and Eve in the garden. And in Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, it says, "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden." From the beginning of time, the Spirit of God has moved. Before creation ever took place, the Spirit of God moved. This is a principle that from the very beginning of time, from the very beginning of the Scriptures, is established. There are a lot of things moving these days in our society and the people that we know and the people that we see. It's very easy to figure out what I'm talking about when all you have to do is go to the mall and notice the fads and the fashions and the hairstyles and the not-so-styles and everything else that's going on. You can look at the way people dress. You can listen at the way people talk. You can look at where people go. You can see who they hang around with. And each of these things are statements, not verbal statements, but they are saying what those people live, what those people believe, what those people are. You look at people and you see what they are. You look what people watch on TV, it says what they are. You think about that. Whenever you give your time to something, you are giving that time to that whatever it is so that it might become a part of you. Therefore, to propagate whatever it is. And I'm just saying, I'm speaking in generality tonight. I'm not going to say what it is, or what it was. I want you to fill in what it is. Praise God. You understand what I'm saying? The Spirit of God is moving. I look at our society today. I hang around with my friends. I have a lot of friends in this town, being raised here. And I hang around with them. Some are married and some aren't. But I know when I get around them what is moving in their hearts. I know what is stirring in their minds. I have one friend in particular that I think a lot of, and when I get around him, he cracks jokes about having an affair. I went over to his house the other day, and he was building a small building, and he looked at me and cracked a joke, and he said, "Back there is where I'm going to have my affairs." You know, that is what is moving. That's the Spirit in this world. That is the Spirit that is moving in this world. That is what is happening in people's mind in our society. Do not shut yourself off from what is happening in the society, but keep yourself separate from it. The more aware we are of what is happening in our society, the closer we should be to God. It should stir our hearts up when we see the Spirit that is moving amongst the young people of today, amongst the adults of today. You adults, you can't point your finger at the youth of this world and say, "Oh, the young people. Oh, look at the young people. Oh, look at the..." You can't do that, because the people that I've hung around with, some are older. Some are your ages. Some are your ages, and they talk about having... A friend of mine just told me recently. He said, "You remember so-and-so from school?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Boy, she was nice looking, you know. And I saw her jogging down the road the other day." Keep in mind, this man's married. He said, "I saw her jogging down the road the other day, and I stopped and I pulled over and said, 'Hey, we need to get together.'" I looked at him and I said, "Man, what are you married?" He said, "Well, everybody's doing it. That's the Spirit that's moving in this world.
That spirit may move, and it may seem that it might prevail, but that's all the time in my message that I'm going to give of talking about the spirit that is moving in this world, because there is another spirit that I want to talk to you about, and that is the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is moving. We come to church and we may not have a rip-em-rump-em, up and down, in and out service. We may not have what we call a Spirit of God move in our service. God is going to move like He wants to move. We cannot put God in a can nor on a monopoly board and monopolize Him and say, this is the way we want you to move. It's not going to be that way when God moves. It's going to be like He wants. We had a tremendous move of God Sunday night. That doesn't say that we have to come. It's not that we're going to have one move of God a month. I believe if I'm going to come to church, I'm going to come to church to be in His presence, because the Spirit of God is moving. The Spirit, this building, this structure is not the Spirit of God. These ceiling tiles are not the Spirit of God. This right here, the temple. I'm the temple. We can go out here on this mowed lawn and have a move of God. We can go over here in this fire department and have a move of God, because the Spirit of God is moving. The Spirit of God is moving. The Bible says that the Spirit is willing. The Spirit is willing, but what? The flesh. The flesh is weak. Praise God. From the beginning of time, the Bible, the Scriptures establish this very important point that the Spirit of God is moving. The Spirit of God is moving. We look at Noah in Genesis chapter 6, verse 18. And God says to Noah, but with thee will I establish my covenant. The Spirit of God is moving. In Abraham, Genesis chapter 17, verse 1 and 2, it says, and when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect, and I will make my covenant between me and thee. The Spirit of God is moving. The Spirit of, everybody say that with me, the Spirit of God is moving. That is one thing we must come to realize, and I would like to make reference to what Brother Price, one statement that he made Sunday night, not that this is the only thing that I heard from his message, but it's something that stuck with me, because the Scripture, God had been dealing with me about this Scripture, and I've been reading it, and so for some reason I had been drawn to it for some time. He made the statement, he said, some of us as older saints, and supposedly mature Christians or something along that line, maybe not those exact words. He said, we will come to church and say, well, I'm just going to get with the flow of things tonight. Well, what if God is depending on you to start the flow of things? What if God is waiting on you to be the one that steps out and really claps your hands and worships and God, and when it was time to sing, brother, it's time to sing. When it was time to clap, it was time to clap. I loved it. And there were people after that. I learned a tremendous lesson, because if I ever after that time came to church and I felt like I had weights on my hands, I would turn around and look at somebody that was on fire. And sure enough, there would be somebody that was ready, raring to go, and they would be clapping and singing and a smile on their face and tears running down their cheeks and getting into it with everything they got. And that would spark me, because the Spirit of God was moving on them. And that stirred me. So don't ever think that God will not use you to minister to other people just through your worship. You have a ministry. You have a ministry in worship. Praise God. Praise God. Okay, we see in Genesis chapter 22, verse 7 and 10 through 12, that the Spirit of God is still moving. We look at Isaac here, and it says, and Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, here are the wood and the fire, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And we go to verse 10. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. The Spirit of God moved and stayed the hand of Abraham. The Spirit of God is still moving. We go to Genesis chapter 28 and verse 16. And we look at Jacob as he's fleeing from his brother. And Jacob says, and the Bible says, and Jacob awake out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. The Spirit of God is moving. We go to Joseph in Genesis chapter 37, and we look at the four P's that Joseph's life took him through. The pit, Potiphar's house, prison, and Pharaoh. Pharaoh's ring represented power. Those are the four P's of Joseph's life. And the Spirit of God moved in Joseph's life. The Spirit of God is moving. We go to Moses, and we look how Moses was in the land of Egypt, and how God moved upon Moses to lead his children out of Egypt. And, of course, this brought about the Exodus. They made the exit, and they took the exit and went to the Red Sea. And the Spirit of God moved and gave them victory, gave them deliverance over what they had had in their lives. The Spirit of God is moving. Are you with me? Praise God. The Spirit of God is moving. I learned a long time ago, and this is intermission right here from the message. I learned a long time ago that I preach for results, not for response. And myself, I like to listen to a preacher. And sometimes I might not get up and jump and shout and holler, because if I get too carried away, I'm not able to hear what he says. But if you want to amen me or do whatever, you just make yourself right at home if you've never been here before. And I notice we have a lot of visitors tonight. Praise God. The Spirit of God is moving. I hope that I preached it well enough that if I was to quit right now, that you would have my message, but I'm not through yet. I only have 10 more pages of notes to go through, and I'll wrap it up. Praise God. The Spirit of God is moving. The prophets prophesied it. Jesus fulfilled it. And the church of today lives it and proclaims it. The Spirit of God is moving. Jesus said you must have it in John chapter 3, verse 5. And in John 7, 38 and 39. He said you must be born of the water and of the Spirit in John 3 and 5. And John 7, 38 and 39. He that believeth on me, as the Scriptures have said, it's good to believe on Jesus, but you must do it as the Scriptures have said. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Belly is a word making reference to the inward man, not the stomach or the tummy that many of us have a good proportion of, but the belly, speaking of the inward man. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of not stagnant water, but of living water. Rivers of living water, but, John continues, this, speaking of out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water, this spake he of the Spirit which they that believe on him should receive. How do you like that for straight preaching? Hallelujah. Which they that believe on him should receive, which they that believe on him should receive. If a person believes on Jesus, according to the Scripture, they are going to receive the Holy Ghost and speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. That wasn't even my notes. Praise God, and I knew it. I'd like to go back to Genesis chapter 1 and read our Scripture text tonight. Everybody say, praise the Lord. If I'm differing with your theological philosophies and your ecclesiastical eschatological beliefs, I hope I'm not too far off track. Praise God. I know when Brother Rutledge is amening me and smiling, I'm doing good. That's why I look at him every once in a while. praise God. Praise God. Okay. I'm going to read verse 2, Genesis chapter 1. And the earth was without form. Okay, establishing a point. The earth. That's what we're talking about. Mother Earth, at one time or another, this place that we've come to love and live on and drive over and fly around and sail over and walk on and do whatever else to, burn and cut down and build up. And the earth was without form. At one time, the earth was without form and void. Now, the very word void means to be empty or without. So he's just restating or reemphasizing, reiterating what he has made the statement to be. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Okay? And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Now, maybe I'm the only person that was like this when I came to God, but when I came to God, I kind of feel like this scripture talks right here. I look back sometimes, and I'm in awe at what I did and still live through it. I look at how without form I was, without plan, without styling. I was without form, and I was void. I was void of a lot of things. I was void, of course, of the Word of God. I've said often that I was addicted to everything but God, and that's just about the way it was. I was addicted to everything I could be addicted to. I was addicted to drugs. I had to have them. I thought I just wanted them back then, but I had to have them, Brother Jody. Addicted. I was without form and void, so therefore, the reason I know I was so void, Ronnie, is because I had to have so many things. And I like what Philippians 3 and I believe it's 10 or 11 says, 3 and 9, somewhere around there. It says, and ye are complete in him, the head of all principality and power. Speaking of Jesus, a couple of scriptures before that, it has established the subject person talking about Jesus. And it says, and ye are complete in him. In him. Not them, him. And ye are complete in him. When I stand and I look in the mirror, and I've thought about this many times, when I see the adornment and the array and the so many different things that people depend upon today, when I stand and look in the mirror, I might not have a whole lot of confidence in me as a person. But I look beyond that physical being standing in that mirror, and I know that in my soul, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And he is in me. I have asked me to come his dwelling place. I mean the Almighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, the Great Physician. He's my healer. He's my fortress. He's my strong tower. His Spirit is in me. Praise God. So therefore, I am complete. There's not a void there anymore. There's not a without form anymore. He has given my life a plan. He has given my life direction. Simply because the Spirit of God is still moving. The Spirit of God is 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 moving. Praise God. I want to get that through tonight. I want to get it through to you. I've been here for 4 months. And I'm saying this now as a friend to you. I'm Cressley. Just remember me. I might not be Cressley after it's over with. But I'm going to say something to you, and I'm just going to be honest with you. And if I step on your toes, if I say something that hurts your feelings, you just remember that Cressley loves you, okay? And I want you to get to heaven. I want to get to heaven. I don't want to see anybody go to the other place. But there have been times that, and everybody has this experience. Everyone faces this, and I'm not pinpointing any person. I'm not pinpointing any specific church. Every church I've ever sat in has had this at one time or another. And that is a dead service. Am I right? Everyone has it. But I've wondered many, many times, does it have to be that way? Well, that could be it. Brother Rutledge said to make us know what the good ones are. But I wonder, does it? Back row all the way across the back was full of sinners, and we just that night happened to have a dead service. Well, to them, would we be any different than the Baptists or the Methodists or Presbyterian? What's the difference? We clap our hands a little bit. You know, we sang a little louder. The preacher got with it a little more. But I mean, the people, you know, the lay people, the lay members, the laity, the saints, they acted just like the people doing Baptist churches. You know, there wasn't anything different. What would you think if a sinner was to come in your service, sit here with us, and leave saying, I didn't feel anything different than what I feel in my church? When the Spirit of God is moving. The Spirit of God is moving. Now, I know that everything I shared with you about Adam and Eve and Noah and Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, all those guys, it may not have interested you, but I said it for one point. God moved, and every time He helped one of them out, He moved in different ways to help them out. But nonetheless, He moved. He moved. God was moving. And just as He was moving then, He is moving now still to fulfill His purpose. He wants us to fulfill His purpose. And I've been in church now since April of 1980. This is April, right? But this is 88, is it? That's 88. That's 8 years. I got two things right tonight. Everything else has been wrong. That's 8 years I've been living for God, trying to live for God, trying to do my best to live for God. And I must admit, I have sat in what we would term as dry services, or a service that was doing without form and voice. And it seemed that darkness was upon the face of the deep. I've sat in a few services like that. But I've made up my mind, and I've made up my mind that when I come to church, I don't know what everybody else has come for or what their purpose was in coming. But I depend greatly upon what Paul said, according to my earnest expectation and my hope. According. Whatever I'm expecting. According to my earnest expectation and my hope. I made up my mind that when I come to the house of God, I want to have a move of God. And if you'll notice what was so beautiful Sunday night, is that everyone started having a move of God. Everyone started clicking into it because everyone had obviously come to have a move of God. And I just looked at that and I thought, you know, it could, if we made up our mind for it to be that way, if we determined in our hearts to be that way, the only thing that could stop it from being that way every service is if God said, well, I don't want to move that way this time. That's the only thing that could stop it. But if we didn't have it, it wouldn't be because we didn't try. Because the Spirit of God is moving. It's just that simple. The Spirit of God is moving. Bible principle has established it from the beginning that the Spirit of God, when the Spirit of God moves, what does it bring? It brings change. It brings creativity. It brings a lot of things into light that were not there before. That's why when a church is having revival, you find out who's on fire for God and who's not. Because those that are on fire for God are going to respond to the move of God. And those that have things in their life that are not right, they are going to be hindered. Paul said, lay aside the weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. Whenever a person sits in the presence of God, the Bible says that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. You can feel the Spirit of the Lord in this room and around you and see it upon the faces of other people. But until that Spirit moves upon you with liberty, then you're not going to feel it like others you see. And it takes lifting up holy hands to the Lord, living a holy life, to have the liberty that is in the Spirit of the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Man was created with a purpose. And that was to have the Spirit of God to fill them, and that they might be a channel for God to work through. When we receive His Spirit into our heart, it was with a purpose to see that someone else received the same experience. Because the Spirit of God is still moving. From Acts chapter 2 until now, the Spirit of God moved in Acts chapter 2. And of course, we reference that as the birth of the church. But the Spirit of God is moving. The Spirit of God is moving. My goodness, the Spirit of God is moving. There may be a lot of things going on in this community, but the Spirit of God is moving in this community if a group of people will desire to stay close to God and remain close to Him. The Spirit of God is and will move. Praise the name. Everybody say praise the Lord. We must have God's Spirit. We read in Romans chapter 8 and verse 9, it says, "But ye are not of the flesh, if ye have the Spirit of Christ, if so the Spirit of Christ be in you. And if ye have not the Spirit of Christ, then ye are none of His." That's a statement about the Spirit of God. That is a statement about the Spirit of God. And when a person has the Spirit of God, and then we know that we have taken on the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Ghost in us, Christ dwelling in you, the hope of glory. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, it makes a statement, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." The only way a person can live godly in Christ Jesus is to have the Spirit of Christ. There's no other way. You see that in other churches. Church right down the street and up the street and across town. They don't manifest the Spirit of Christ. So therefore, they are damned unless, of course, they change their ways and their beliefs. They are damned to live a life, as Paul writes to say to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, "And in the last days, perilous times shall come." And it goes on to name the sins of the last day. People are damned to perform those sins in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through verse 4, unless they have the Spirit of God in their hearts. Praise God. Let's all stand together. Sinners know that we're Pentecost, so when they come to our services, they expect to see a Pentecostal service. They expect to see the apostolics in action. And I refuse to perform for anyone. I'm not a performer. I'm a preacher. So therefore, I will not reduce myself to simply putting on a show for people that come to our services. But one thing that I'm going to do, I am going to manifest what God has filled me with. Praise the name of the Lord. Everybody say praise the Lord. Praise God. I am very partial to teaching rather than preaching. The word preach means to proclaim. And teaching is to instruct. And I, for some reason, my ministry has always leaned more toward teaching rather than preaching, and full of a lot of scripture. And my last scripture tonight, I had a man tell me one time, one of my elders, that not many people know him from here. He had heard me preach, and he was just trying to help me. And he said, "Christy, you know, you use too many scriptures in your sermons." My mind immediately went to what Paul told Timothy, to preach the Word. Preach the Word. Praise God. And that's what I try to do. We haven't swung from the chandeliers tonight, especially since we don't have any. We haven't burned the aisles up, but there's one thing about it. The Word of God is not going to return void. It's not going to return void. And I knew when I was preparing this, I didn't expect you folks to jump up and down, holler, and hoot. You did exactly what I expected you to do and wanted you to do. To sit and listen to me. To give me all of your undivided attention. Just like everybody else, I love attention. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning with verse 50, reading to verse 55. "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God." The physical cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither does corruption inherit corruption. Excuse me. Neither does corruption inherit incorruption. Okay? Making a reference to the Spirit. "Behold," in verse 51, "I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? As the Spirit of God has filled each of our hearts, that same Spirit that we must maintain, we have to maintain our salvation. That same Spirit that we must keep alive in our hearts is going to quicken. It's going to quicken us one day to meet our Lord in the air. And that will be when the Spirit of God moves. The Spirit of God is moving. My question to you, and the last statement I'll make in this sermon, since the Spirit of God is moving, and we have seen through the Scriptures that it obviously is moving, has been moving, and will continue to move, will you allow yourself as a Pentecostal to get into the flow of the Spirit? Not to reduce yourself of what you think a move of the Spirit is, but allowing the Scriptures to reveal to us what a move of God is. Let's all lift our hands right now. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah. Singing as I go.